Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of Dev to Dev, the podcast about everyday video game developers and why they do what they do every day. I'm here with another exciting conversation with a friend and colleague. I'm really looking forward to digging into the history. Orlando, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, yeah, I am Orlando. I am the former associate combat designer over at ZeniMax. Here I am.
Well, thanks for doing this. I'm excited. We previously worked together, and it's going to be interesting to dig into your history, like how we ended up working together and how that experience was. Mm-hmm. But I always like to kick this conversation off with a sort of a question, a way back question. When were you first inspired by video games?
I'd say my first inspiration was on the Nintendo 64, playing Spider-Man.
Mm.
I love Spider-Man. I have like, I don't know, like 400 comics of his. I just started collecting the Magic the Gathering cards. I have like statues of him all over the place. I got the collector's editions of things, right? Ever since that game, I was like, dude, video games are freaking cool. I want to learn how to do this because Spider-Man's awesome and I want to make games like that. And I was just, you know, obsessed with playing Spider-Man, with playing on my Nintendo. And then from then on, you know, realizing my journey, you know, eventually coming to fruition of, you know, making games.
I love that. Okay. So Spider-Man on N64, not only, so you were an existing Spider-Man fan, you've been reading and enjoying Spider-Man. So yeah. The video game really captured you. Was that the mm-hmm. first video game you played, or just the first video game that kind of really you remember being caught by?
I believe it was the first game I was ever caught by. The first game I played was, I want to say, Super Mario. Mm. And then I think after that was GTA.
Wow, what a contrast.
It was like the original top down
PS1.
It was so funny. Because I was like, what game is this? And my uncle was showing me. He was like, yeah, this is, you know, this is Grand Theft Auto. And, you know, it's a top down. You see the little pixels of him coming up and down, left and right. I'm like, what? Yep. And it was just hilarious. And then, I started playing. Mom got me a Nintendo 64. I got a Spider-Man, Pokemon Stadium. I think those were like the only like two games that I had. And then my cousin gave me like Mega Man 64. And then from there, like my first, I guess that was my first intro to gaming, really those games. And then I played after that my PlayStation 1. I was playing some SOCOM and then some SOCOM on PS2. You know, Jack and Dexter, Spyro, all those classic PlayStation games. And then from there on, I didn't even know online existed at the time. Because I was like, what, you guys played online games on your PlayStation? I was like, what's this? I didn't know online existed until the PS3.
Right.
So I was like, what? You guys had online? You were playing SOCOM online? How does that work? It just blew my mind. And then my first game on the PlayStation was on the PS3 was Killzone, and I think it was Dust 514. And that game got me encapsulated into like shooters and like first person shooters, because I was like, whoa, this is really cool. And then Killzone on top of that, you know, like those two kind of like brought together my obsession with like wanting to like, I guess, brought me back more into wanting to make games because of how cool these experiences were. I was like, dude, this is awesome. I want to, you know, keep doing this, keep playing games and stuff like that. My mom was like, yeah, okay, sure, go ahead. You know, my mom was fully supported. And I was like, all right, cool. And I went to like, you know, I went to school for it. And it was just a really awesome experience.
That's cool. Okay, so let me pick that apart a little bit. So
yeah.
So Spider-Man on the N64 kind of brought your love of Spider-Man into a video game and really sort of inspired you. Did you sort of mention that inspired you to want to make video games? Was did you have that passion like right away? You're like, I want to make these games because of the N64 Spider-Man. Wow. Yep. So you kind of knew immediately.
Yeah, I kind of knew immediately.
Wow.
It was either that or be a firefighter.
Okay.
And I knew I couldn't do that because I have asthma. So,
Okay. Yep. Got it. Okay. So the video game thing was like, that's what I want to do. I love playing them. And was there something, it sounded like there was something about seeing Spider-Man in, you know, being able to play Spider-Man, I presume, is kind of what really captured you. Because you read and watched Spider-Man for so long and now suddenly you could be Spider-Man.
Yeah. So it was like, to me, it was all about, you know, that player experience, you know, like being able to encapsulate yourself into a character that you know isn't real, but you can be, you know, for the moment that you're playing.
Yeah.
And it's like these, and it's, I guess, it's also what I think about when I'm designing is like, you know, how, if I'm, you know, if I'm this character, what can I do to help sell that I'm this character? You know, what part of this, of this character's kit or of this character's design can I kind of relate to me or relate to any of my experiences when I'm, you know, hands-on controller.
That's amazing. So and so because you kind of had that experience playing Spider-Man, being Spider-Man, that kind of inspired you to be like, that's how you should think about it, right? You should think about the player experience, how the player is embodying themselves in the in the gameplay. Cool. Okay. So Spider-Man N64, you know, kind of is a big landmark game. And then where were you growing up? Where
This was in the Bronx, New York.
Okay, so in New York.
Yeah.
Okay, and did you have family? Do you have siblings? Were they also gamers or anyone else in the family?
No, it was just me. Okay. Really? Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So I was and like then, the only person that like played games and stuff like that, I was always like just on the big, like, you know, the giant TV that's like, CLT, you know, the giant. Yeah.
Yep.
That was me right in front center. Right.
Okay. So, and what about friends or, you know, school friends? Were there, you know, a collection of people that were gamers around you, or were you very much just like the gamer?
Yeah, I was pretty much the gamer. All my other friends wanted to like play outside and, you know, have a life and stuff. I don't know. Like,
what's that?
What is that? Bunch of losers socializing.
I'm just alone in my room playing video games. I win.
Well, because it was like, the only thing that I felt like I could like really sink myself into. And it was like, so because I could relate with whatever character I was playing, or like because I'd like brought myself, like my subconscious, into the character that I'm playing, I was like, we're friends. This is my friend right here. He's my best bud.
Well, and that to me makes sense why Spider-Man was the thing, right? Because if you were so much of a Spider-Man fan and suddenly you could, like you say, buddy up with Spider-Man and kind of be, you know, this mind meld of you and Spider-Man, I can see why that would be so inspiring at that kind of era at time. It makes complete sense. It's very similar. I a lot of the reason why I play third person games, right, is because I enjoy that mind meld of, right, there is a character and I'm bringing myself to that character and we're kind of like working together. It's a great escape. That's cool. So
yeah. So
you grew up kind of playing games, you know, really just a primary gamer. You said you went to school for
I went to school for game design at Full Sail University. I did it I did it online, so I was like pretty much like, you know, at home and doing online school and working at the same time.
Right.
It was a lot.
That's hard. How did you balance that? That must have been really tough.
Yeah. I guess it was funny because like at first I guess my journey with like game design degree is like a long one because it's like so like I graduated high school in 2011. Spent a year in like a local college because the school that I really wanted to go to, which was DigiPen, they didn't have my capacity for me to join. So I was like, so for game design.
Yep.
So I was like, you know, they were like, hey, just wait another year and you'll be able to come in and do it. Cause I guess everyone at the time wanted to go in for game design. Cause that was when it was first, you know, around the time when it was first being brought into schools, I think. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll wait a year. So I just spent, you know, a year at, you know, some school by me. And I was like, all right, it's fine, whatever. And then they was like, yeah, you're gonna have to wait another year because we still don't have any room for you. And I was like, all right, I'll just go to this other school. And I was like, this other school ended up being Full Sail University because it was one of the other top schools to go to for game design at the time, or game development too. And then I was there for, so it was a 3-year program. And I only ended up doing 2 because, my mom at the time had, you know, she lost her job. So I was trying to work and do school at the same time. And I'm like, dude, this is hard. I can't do this. And like my grades started slipping and stuff. And so I was like, I talked to the career development person. I was like, hey, you know, I need to, you know, give me, you know, my grades are slipping from like a 3.5 to like a 1.4, 1.5 or something like that. And, you know, we're like, we had a talk and we're like, yeah, they were just, you know, I'll take a break and I'll come back, you know, next year. And then, you know, I can start us up again or, you know, whenever we were back up on our feet. And then when I did that, there was like, they denied me re-entry because they said that my GPA was too low for me to come back up. And I was like, but you told me to come back.
Yeah.
The whole point was because I wanted to, I chose to step away because my grades were slipping and then I was going to come back and, you know, start all over again. And I just got mad and I never, you know, finished my degree. I was like, I'm not going to, you know, F you guys, I'm not going to do this. I think like 10 years, like not 10 years later, exaggerating, but like what felt like 10 years later. I was like, I had just moved to, New Jersey, cause to be closer to my last job. And there I was a community manager at a co-working space. So instead of spending like an hour and 15 to an hour and a half getting there, it was like 30 minutes. And I was like, all right, I'll do that. And then because I was like, since I moved out, I was like, I have so much free time. I have nothing better to do. Let me attempt to go back to school again. Let me see what they say this time.
Yeah.
And so I went and there was like, you know, I went through the process of reentry. And then there was like, we don't know why we denied you in the first place. you could have just came back. And I was like, are you serious?
Wow.
They was like, yeah, I don't know why they denied you your reentry, but yeah, you definitely could have, you know, you have enough time for you to just, you know, come back, get your grades up, and then, you know, good to go. So I did. I brought my I got basically A's and A+, like basically almost A'd the entire like year and a half that I spent there. Brought my GPA up like a little over a point, which was hard already because it's like, you know, your GPA is so low. So yeah, I aced everything. I think I got like an award for like game history and stuff. Yeah, and then I graduated my bachelor's degree, and here I am.
That's such a cool story. So a lot of juggling then. You were kind of, when you were at home with your mom, you were juggling. And then when you were, when you were juggling the co-working space, what job, but also, you know, restudying.
It was a lot of work because a lot of our assignments were due like midnight. So because of that, I had the time, you know, the hours between to like get, you know, I was out of work by like 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'll get home by 6 o'clock, 6:30. And then I'll just have the remaining, you know, like 4 or 5 hours, not including, you know, showering and eating to, you know, to do focus. Work for school. Yeah. And then I was, you know, head first on that. And it, you know, eventually, you know, it paid off.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Got my degree. I think I know everything.
clearly. Yeah, know all you need to know. Good to go. So, but that's a lot of dedication, though, right? You must have had enough passion to fuel you, you know, because working a full-time job and then also studying, you know, even, you know, into the night is not for the faint-hearted, right? It's not easy, but you must have had a lot of passion in the design field, in the on the course, to want to, you know, commit to it and make it happen.
Yeah, it's a lot of perfectionism on my end.
Right, right.
Because it's like, I want to do something, I'm just going to do it, right? And like I said before, like, I've always wanted to do this, and I was like, I want to make games. So and then it was funny because I've realized that I do that. Whenever I think I can do something and I can do it better than someone else, I'll just go ahead and do it. Like, I was always like the type of person, I'll just be like, if I feel like I can do something and I can do a good job at it, I'm just going to go headstrong into it.
Right. So is that a competition element, or is that just a kind of desire to, you know, to perform and excellence? Like, what
should I guess it was more of like I compete with myself a lot.
Interesting.
Because it's like, if I can do something and get an understanding as to why someone did something some way, and I can kind of refine it and make it a little bit better with the same theme, same design, but like tweak it to make it a little bit more user friendly, then I would 100% do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I was always like this, even when it came to like drawing and stuff. Like, because I did some art in school, and I would take other people's art and just be like, "Hey, I like your stuff, but I can do it better than you." And I'm just gonna draw this and draw the same thing that you did, but somehow other people are gonna like this one than yours.
And you're not really sure where that comes from? Like, always been.
I have no idea. It's just always been something that I was just like, if I can, you know, if I see a design and that I like, but it feels better in our like game or in our, you know, whatever it is that we're making, I want to take that, you know, refine it, make it, you know, more user friendly, more developer friendly, and then just kind of just go with it.
Got it. Okay. Do you think that manifests? I mean, it sounds like it's manifest in your professional career, but also it manifests kind of everywhere, that desire to sort of take something and make it better.
Yeah. It's always been something that I, you know, when it comes to like cooking or like making food or, you know, drawing or, you know, playing cards or whatever. Like, I don't know why, like, internally, I just like to try and do my best that I can with my, you know, try to put my best foot forward.
Yeah.
Because if I feel like I'm just doing the same thing as someone else, then that's not me doing something. That's just me copying whatever someone else is doing. Mm-hmm. And that's not really original to me. It's not, you know, it's more of just regurgitating what someone else did. And that doesn't feel like a growth at all, or, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, I love that mentality, Orlando. I think that's like a superpower, man. Like, if that's your... I mean, obviously, there's a version of that that's hyper-toxic, right? If you're always being... You know, if you're lording over people, right? But I think having that drive... I mean, clearly, right, it's been it was effective at Full Sail, because I'm guessing that's sort of what motivated you to go and keep pushing, right? Was to just keep...
More of this like competition with my old self, where it's like, I didn't finish. Well, I'm going to finish this time, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the piece that makes it not toxic, right? Right. Because it is very much about doing a better job of.
Yeah. It's for. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's for myself. It's not really for like, I'm going to do better than you. And
exactly.
This is
how,
you know,
how bad you are.
It's never like that. No.
That would be the toxic version.
Yeah. That would be toxic.
Yeah. But it sounds like that's an incredible drive, you know, and so that served you really well going through the Full Sail process. That, you know, the game design that you learned there, you were kind of approaching it from that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And how do you feel like that course informed you? You know, you said that you'd always had this desire to make games, and so you were on the course to learn how to make games. Do you feel like you got a really strong understanding of that concept going through that? Like, how was that process for you?
Yeah. So like, because we did like a bunch of like small projects, and, you know, we learned to, I guess, because we're doing so many small projects, we're learning to fail. And, you know, learning to fail successfully is a really important part of game development, because it's like, you know, if you can't take your failure and make it better, then you're not really fit. Right.
No.
And it's like, you know, fail fast and, you know, learn from that failure. Because like at school, I learned a lot of like, you know, I learned level design. I learned, you know, it was a lot of self-paced too. Like self-paced within the month, but it's like every month we had a new course. And then within those new courses, we had new projects that we had to complete for that month aside from our capstone. Capstone was like 3 months at the end of the program, and there you would spend time with a team that you were put into, and then kind of just learn how to, you know, learn how to communicate with them, learn how who they are as a designer, what their strengths are, what they like, what they don't like, and then when it comes to any conflicts that you have within each other, to kind of resolve that. And, you know, don't be like a overconfident developer that's like, it's my design, you know, it's my, you know, I did this, I did that. Like, it's more about the team and how everyone does it and how you all group together and, you know, kind of design as a unit instead of designing separately. Because if you're designing like that, then you're not really making a game for everyone. You're making a game for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's not a very consumer friendly way to design. I learned like through that whole process, like, you know, I had a conflict with one of our developers one of our other designers, and I realized that I was the one in the wrong, and then from that I took that and I was like, whoa, no way. I did that. Right. I was like, I can't believe that I did this. Or I caused an issue, and, you know, I apologize. I say, I'm sorry, you know, and, you know, from then on, I just never thought about like designs in that same way to cause conflict. Mm. Because I think that at the time I was designing for myself, and yep. I didn't realize that I was designing for myself. Mm-hmm. And then it was in that moment that I was like, I have to, you know, learn whenever I'm feeling this way to kind of try to understand why I'm feeling this way. Why do I feel like my, you know, this design is a better fit than the one that we want to go through? And I've done that at work where I was like, hey, I talked to our lead, John. I was like, hey, John, I feel like this design is a little bit better, but, you know, can you tell me, you know, why we're going this way as opposed to the other way? And because of that, I like to learn how people with more experience design things, because then it helps inform me as someone that's coming into the industry and growing and learning how to think about designs outside of my own purview. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like I said before, I'm not making games for me, or I'm making the game for everyone, for the player, for the company, for, you know, so many other designers that are making this, you know, trying to be cohesive in one unit, you know?
Wow. So in that sort of, I know it was broken up, but in that kind of four year course, was it 4 years?
Yeah, in total, it was 3 years.
3 years, okay.
But it was like a year and a half, and then like years break, and then another year and a half.
Okay.
But like, I guess because I also am older than I was then, and like now I have, you know, more like real world experience with just like, you know, general problems, and mm-hmm. you know, like I have an older mentality, I guess.
A more mature one.
I'm wiser.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the things we go through, you know, hopefully you know, it sounds like, especially with this mentality of like trying to always do better than yourself, you know, you learn a lot. So I guess it's fascinating because from my perspective, it sounds like in 3 years you learned what took me 10. It took me a long time to get over myself, basically, right? And that's kind of what it sounds like it taught you to do, right? Just get over yourself, right?
Yeah,
you. It's not about your idea being the best idea. It's not about you being the most influential. It's about the team. It's about mm-hmm. the consumer. It's about the experience. And like, that is an incredibly valuable lesson, I think, to learn. If that's all you learned coming out of a course like that, I think that's incredible, because I think that is a really great way of building games. And I think a lot of us that have been around for a long time, it took us a lot longer to learn that, but I think a lot more people mm-hmm. have that mentality now, which I think is really, that's great. Okay.
Yeah, it was like a switch for me. Like, it didn't, you know, when you really, you know, it's like when you realize you're doing that, you're like, oh, yeah. I'm doing that.
I'm the one being the yeah. Oh no.
I was like, let me nip that in the bud right now.
Yeah. But the fact that you did that though, Orlando, because I know there were times when I know I did that and I didn't have that realization, I didn't have that recognition, or like, no, my idea is better. Like, and I'm not gonna back down, you know, like, and the fact that you were able to do that, and like you say, it probably was a couple of years of maturity, but even so, you're still young, right, to be able to do that. I wish I was that young when I had that realization. I think that's really, really powerful, that then that's a testament to your, you know, your approach, that you resolved it that way by looking internally and going, nope, that's on me, I've got to fix that.
Yeah. And I've done that. I've done like a lot of that in, like, you know, outside of work, and then, like, you know, at work. And it's like, if you can't really learn to grow, you know, if you can't grow yourself as a person while you're designing things, and then realize that, you know, not every idea that you come up with is the greatest thing that you know, any design, oh my god, this is $1 million design, we gotta put that in there right now. Like, even if it is that great, right, you have to understand that it may not be right fit for what you're designing. It may not be, and even if it is, like, they're gonna say no. You have to understand that if I go up to my lead and, you know, he's like, this makes a lot of sense, but we're not gonna do it, then you have to be like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
And then just shelve it for later, or, you know, you can shelve it for later and be like, okay, hey, you know, this is the design that we're currently doing. Isn't working. Let's take a step back. Oh, I like this design that, you know, Orlando, you came up with. Well, you know, and if you can, you know, understand that it's okay to, you know, to hear the no and, you know, kind of grow from that, then, you know, I think that you can, I mean, I don't really think of it as people pleasing, but, you know, at the same, it kind of is, because you're not like, you're, I mean, I don't know. It isn't, because it's more like, you know, you're going to like to understand. He's like, okay, yeah, all right. I won't push into it anymore.
Yeah.
Than you already did. Cause then at that point, it's just like, you're kind of just begging and it's not.
Yeah. Or just being, you know, the sticky wheel, right. Or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think that's people pleasing, Orlando. I think for me, that is, in a weird way, that is iteration, right? Iteration is try this thing, see if it fits. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And then, you know, keep trying, right? And in order to do that, you as a person, to your point, have to be okay with going, I could have sworn that was the right thing right now, but maybe it isn't. Maybe it will be in the future. And even if it is, it may well turn out to not be. It might be the right thing right now, but it won't be later, or we may be like, ah, oh, that was a terrible idea. We thought it was great last year, and now it's terrible. Yeah. I honestly, I'm super impressed that you have that mentality, because I think that is super. It is a superpower. Frankly, if more people in the world had that mentality, we'd be in a better place. But I think that is a superpower in game dev, to be able to go, I believe in this idea, but if it doesn't work right now, I'm okay with that, right? And I think I'm going to fight for it, but I'm also okay if it doesn't work. That's incredible, and I'm super impressed that you know. It sounds like Full Sail was part of that, you know. But, you know, like you say, also life can breed that in you too. So
yeah, I've seen that happen like real time at work, and it's like you know, you'll have designs that you're just like, this doesn't make any sense while we're doing it, And then you'd be like, we pitched something like months ago, and we're changing the design again and again and again. Yep. And then we're going back to circle to square one. And it's, you know, sometimes it's on purpose, because you want to realize, you want to, you don't want to just focus on the one design, you know, and be like, okay, this is the end all be all. We're never going to try anything else. You know, you change the design, you try something else, you see why it doesn't work, you know you get other people to understand why you picked something without really telling them, this is why we're doing this. So, because even though you know that it's the right, like the first design is the right design, other people may want to see why everything else doesn't work.
100%.
And then that's also why, you know, sometimes some like some designs take forever to you know, kind of like focus on, because you're kind of like letting other people see why, yeah. you know, the other visions don't work or don't fit what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes we just circle back to it anyway.
We do. Yeah. And I think that sort of battle testing that idea, right? Like, I think mm-hmm. if you have an idea and then you try three or different alternatives and you come back to the original one, well, that original one is stronger now than it was when you first went through that process. And it's easy to look at that and go, well, why do we waste that time going through it? It's because you've come out of it going, this was the right idea. This was the mm-hmm. right idea from day one. We've proven that now. We can all feel confident moving forward. Yeah. Again, that's a great attitude to have. And it's very much my mentality too. So I love that. You did your 3 years at Full Sail, and you had a couple of different, capstone. You had a capstone project there, yeah. Because the first person shooter you kind of built.
Yeah, is that right? Before. Yeah, I did I did two projects at Full Sail, and then one of my own. Before I had gotten the internship for ZeniMax. There were two group projects. We had like a wave shooter, where you had to reach like a certain amount, like 1,000 points. To win the game essentially. Then you had it was a first person shooter. You had enemy AIs that would like just spawn from the sky and drop down and chase the player. And then you had these like floating like turret looking things that will always just chase you around and follow you around and start shooting at you. So you like had to dodge the bullets from that, and then also try to not get killed by the enemy AI chasing you. And there were I believe like three different bullet types that were just collectible pickups, and then like you had a health drop, and then I'd like made the noises for the guns and like pew 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 pow, pow, pow. Like it was hilarious, but
yeah.
I mean we couldn't find any we didn't want it to be like everyone else is weren't using the same, you know, sound, so I was like, let me just make a sound and this will be funny and cool. And then the one after that was our capstone that I put on there. It was a third person like it was like inspired by a game called Javana, which was like you had elemental powers, and you would pick up like new abilities and stuff. And we kind of like did that here, where you're kind of like the avatar, but not really. And you could pick up a water ability, and you can like run on water. And so I worked on like a rock ability where you can like pick it up like a Jedi, and you know, sling it around and throw it and stuff. And then after that, I tried a game jam with some people, and that was terrible. That was a really bad experience for me. Ended up being like two people of the like six of us doing a lot of the work, and right. I was like, you know, you're gonna get what you got, and that's it. It was a lot of people like saying they'll do stuff without doing things. And it's kind of like reminded me how like dedicated you have to be to want to be a game designer or game developer, because it's like you can say you want to do it, but you have to put the work in, you know. Mm-hmm. You can be a guy on Reddit and just be like, I hate this game because this and the third. All right, do something about it, you know. Go and open Unreal Engine, that's free, or Unity, that's free, or Godot, that's free, and learn how to design something, and you know, go through the process and understand why they decided to go on and why they made that decision, you know. That's what it felt like I was designing, or the kind of people I was designing with when I was doing the game jam. It was like a lot of people were just saying they could do it, and you know, you rely on them to do the thing that they said they would do, and then when the deadline comes, they got nothing, and I'm like, all right, now I'm spending all night working on this on my own because you know you couldn't fulfill your end of the bargain, and then you wonder why you don't have a job in the game industry. And you know, and then after that, I I decided to work on a project on my own. It was a first-person shooter where I was kind of learning the fundamentals of what makes a first-person shooter. And so, like, I did, like, weapon sway, camera movement when you're moving left and right, so, like, the weapon moves with you. You had fall damage. You had AI that would chase the player, then explode, and it kind of like in Destiny, where you had the metal like ball looking dudes, and they would just like chase you and explode. I forgot what they were called, and then they had a spider that would chase and melee the player. And so like on the player side, I also did like the different what's it called? Different shooting types. So you had a single shot, a full auto, semi-auto. You had a recoil as well. So the recoil was always different. Dynamic recoil. And yeah, that was a lot of what I did. And then also like some of the level design on there as well. And while I was doing that, I had gotten the internship for the ZeniMax, and yeah, and it was funny because for that I was like, hey, I messaged someone from HR on LinkedIn, and I was like, hey, I introduced myself. I was like, hey, my name is Orlando. I applied to this position a couple months ago. It was both for like, I think it was for internship and just, I think it was just regular designer at the time. And yeah, I had gotten I got a message back. He was like, hey, yeah, this looks like it's for one of our other offices. I'll take a look. And I was like, okay, cool, thanks. And then I got an email for an internship, and I was like, internship? I don't remember applying to this. and then yeah, the rest is history, where, you know, I joined you guys as an intern for 6 months, and then I was full-time combat designer.
Yeah, I definitely want to get into that because I want to understand that experience of being an intern and sort of moving internal. But just quickly, the project that you did on your own, like what triggered you to do that, and what were you sort of trying to achieve when you sort of set out to do that demo?
So I was trying to essentially showcase that I can, like, at least showcase and learn what makes a first person shooter or so immersive, and you know, what are the fundamentals that I should start with before I start expanding on anything else. And I fell in love with this concept too when working at ZeniMax, when we would kind of we would want to create something awesome and unique. But it was also important to focus on doubling down and getting a solid foundation of what our fundamentals are.
Yes.
And I kind of started with that already with, you know, this side project. I was like, I want to do this, that, and the third, and I want to do so many cool things. And then I was like, I have so many ideas, but let me calm down, right? Because you can just be on your computer writing stuff up as for like days and not make anything.
Yeah.
And so what was important to me was trying to get an understanding of what makes this, you know, what about this shooter am I trying to do, right? And where should I start? And what was important to me was understanding how to create a solid foundation of the mechanics. And that was, I guess to me, the most important part of this demo was like, okay, how can I get these mechanics down so that they don't, you know, they don't look like I just picked up Unreal Engine and just changed the demo and just boom, 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 boom. You know, you have, cause it's just, as soon as you shoot, there's nothing, there's no, you know, you don't really get any recoil, at least at the time. You know, I mean, now you have like a whole sleuth of things that come with, when you open up Unreal, but yeah, at the time I wanted to make something that felt, you know, unique, and I guess a little different than what you could see with everyone else making. Because what was important to me was, like I keep saying, the fundamentals, and getting them down packed, so that way I could see, show, hey, I designed this. I know it's really basic, but this is showcasing that I can understand the fundamentals before I start expanding on something and making it more. Because if you're, you know, if let's say, you know, let's say I'm making a first person shooter with like, you know, all these like Doom, like all these, you know, Doom abilities and stuff like that. Right. If the shooting doesn't feel good, everything else is all I'm going to want to do is, you know, use the weapons or use the abilities that come with, you know, the shooter. I'm like, I don't, but, and I'm not going to want to shoot anything because shooting doesn't feel good. So to me, it was important to make sure that what you're going to be doing the entire time feels good. Yeah. And then, you know, secondary to that are whatever extras that I want to put on it. You know, like you don't want to go to a pizza place and the cheese pizza tastes disgusting. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to put toppings on it. Maybe it'll taste better then. No, it's still disgusting just with toppings, you know?
I love that analogy. That's a great analogy. Yeah, I mean, again, that's super impressive, Orlando, that because you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think it's so easy when you go make your own project to just have, you know, sky-high dreams and go like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's going to be all these things. But if you can't even make the basic mechanics feel good, then what good are the dreams? Yeah, I think that's yeah. that's and I think I applaud you for sort of approaching it that way, because that is right. And like you said, that's something that, you know, that we that is a similar approach that we had at ZOS. So so you're working on that demo. You had already applied to join. You'd seen some openings at ZOS. Had you applied elsewhere or just ZOS?
I applied everywhere.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. ZOS the ones that.
Yeah. I got. It's funny because my first interview ever, and I've only ever gotten two interviews, and they were both with ZOS.
I mean,
one was for a monetization designer on ESO.
Right.
And working on the store there, essentially. And I did a terrible job on that interview. It was just unlucky the entire time because, so I did the interview while I was at work, and I was like during my break time. So I was like, I'll just do the interview now. I had notes on my iPad. I had like things that I wanted to say. I had questions. I had, you know, I was prepared. And my iPad died and it wasn't charging. And that's where all my notes was.
No,
so I was like, blind. So I went in blind. And it was so bad. Like, he was like, you have any questions? Like, no. I had questions. I had things to say. I had, you know, I had written down like what I wanted to improve on the store, what I didn't want to see much of. Because like at the time there was a lot of concerns of like, oh, you're seeing so many things that I can get in the world in the store. Like if I'm a player coming into ESO and I'm going to be spending real world money, I don't want to spend money on things that I can just find right in front of me. So like a lot of that was like, or it was more of that essentially on my notes, and it kind of just fell through. Then a year later, I get my second interview with you yes. Rob.
Yeah. That's funny. Well, I can't say I'm not sad the ESO one didn't work out, because that meant we got to hire you. But so you got the intern role. How was that? Like, because, you know, obviously intern is a very, you know, it's a excellent entry point to video games, but it's also a very challenging one, I think. Yeah. So how was your experience being an intern?
I'd say my experience was good, because I was able to knock out a lot of my 30, 60, 90 days in the 1 month that I was, you know, an intern. And I guess that it was unexpected, I guess, for all of us for that to happen, because it was like, because I was able to understand, you know, what we were working on, what, you know, what the engine, you know, the engine that we were using felt like, you know, how I was learning how to design on there. I was reading and writing documents. I was, I was making things already. And I was also working full time at the same time.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. You were balancing again. You were juggling a full time job and a full time commitment. So,
yeah. But I did good enough. You're right. I was hired.
Yeah. I mean, you hit the ground running, man. Like, and that's impressive. And how much of that, I'm curious how much of that was, because you joined as a combat designer, right? Mm-hmm. You joined the combat team. But it sounds like at Fulso you got a pretty broad design, you know,
yeah.
a broad swath of design that you worked on. So did that help? Do you feel like when you even though you joined the combat team, did you feel well equipped to, you know, tackle the design? How did you hit the ground? I guess my question is, how did you hit the ground running so fast? How do you feel like
I
that
guess
happened?
It was funny because before our interview, my portfolio was level design. So I don't know if you know this, but my entire portfolio, my resume, my cover letter, like everything, like, because I felt like I was more prepared for level design than I was for anything else.
Right.
And then when I got the interview, I think it was Amanda, sent me the email saying, hey, this is an interview for your combat design internship. I was like, what? Combat design? Oh my god, I got 2 days I literally spent my whole weekend redoing my portfolio, redoing my resume, redoing my cover letter, like all the stuff that I already had saved on the website. I changed it all in like the nick of time to be combat, and I didn't realize how easy it was.
Right.
So for me, it's like, it sounds crazy, but like to me, I kind of did this already. I was already making, you know, weapons and making abilities and stuff like that. And you know, I was explaining all these things already. Like, it was so easy for me that transition from like wanting to be a level designer to being a combat designer was so easy that I didn't realize how easy it was. And I was done. Like, I was in like a day, and I thought I was going to be spending like forever working on it and changing and all this, but no, it was just, so I didn't realize that I already had that, you know, experience doing combat and essentially gameplay design under my belt, because I was so into the fact that I was, oh yeah, I'll just do level design. And I didn't like level design. I was like, I don't want to do block meshes and, you know, draw it on the paper and, you know, be like, oh yeah, we're here, this, there. Like, to me, I was like, I don't want to do this. But I was like, I'm going to do it anyway, because I feel like this is the only experience I have. But when I got that, you know, like I said, when I got that that interview, I didn't realize that I was already doing that. And it kind of made sense.
Yeah.
It brought everything together for me, where it's like, oh yeah, I do combat stuff. I do gameplay stuff. I'm player focused. I love, you know, when the player has something in their hands, I want to make sure that they can feel like they're that character.
I mean, going right back to what you said about Spider-Man, right?
Yeah,
the genesis of this whole thing. Yeah. But it took... That's interesting that you hadn't recognized it. I had a conversation with Lehman yesterday, in one of the other episodes, and he had a very similar journey where, like, he found a role and then realized, oh, actually, no, I've been doing loads of this. So it sounds very similar that you kind of felt like level design was the thing you should say, but actually you've been doing a lot of combat, you know, in the background. And Okay. So you got the internship. You managed to, you know, very, very aptly, I would say, change your portfolio to combat, and, you know, I had no idea. It made complete sense to me when I read it. And so you joined the combat team, you hit the ground running, and I guess maybe that's why, right? It's because you had been doing a lot of combat design. It was in your bones almost.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was a natural.
Yeah. It was a natural transition. During that internship, I was like, this is so easy. Like I was making things, I was writing stuff, and I was like, this kind of just makes sense, you know, like I should be here. Right. Like to me, I was like, this is my thing. This is my jam.
Yeah.
Writing comps and stuff like that. And like, that was like so easy for me to do. It was like, okay, yeah, I'll write, you know, why am I talking about this comp here? And, you know, I would write about what the comp is, and then have a page before that saying, the reason why I chose this, why this fits into our game our product, and, you know, why, what we should take from this. You know, and like what designs I think would fit really well. And all of that was just so, so natural, that it was kind of weird. Not gonna lie.
It's great. I mean, and how was that? Because that was sort of really your first professional game design, you know, game development role. So how was that transition for you going? I mean, obviously you'd had some experience at Full Sail, you'd had some experience working in teams, but how was that transition into the into a company? How did that feel for you?
It was nerve-wracking because I wasn't sure if whenever I was like designing something, if it was right. And obviously I would ask and be like, hey, is this all right? Is this okay? You know? And then I would always want to learn why, you know, we're doing something and, you know, ask a million one questions. And, you know, Q was my, you know, supervisor at the time. And, you know, it was awesome having him, you know, kind of give me that direction, and be like, hey, you know, you'll want to design like this because, you know, this, because of this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, cool. I understand now. And I'm like, okay, well, why don't we do that? And he's like, because that doesn't make sense. I'm like, all right, you're right. Thanks, Q. he was always straightforward. And I honestly love that. So, like, I like when people are straightforward with me and, you know, kind of just be like, don't do that. Why are you doing that? And I'm like, I don't know, because it feels right. He was like, no. I'm like, all right, sounds good.
Yeah, constraints are good, right? They help you design better. Okay, so a nerve-wracking process. Did you feel like you kind of got your feet under you? Because you were an intern for what, six?
Yeah, for 6 months.
6 months? Yeah. And did you feel like you kind of got your feet under you during that time? Or?
Yeah. I felt like I got... At the beginning, I was nervous because I, you know, I was like, what am I doing here? I felt like a fraud.
You're not the only one, Orlando.
But, you know, over time, it was like, it kind of just like fell on, like it kind of just fell natural. And I guess, you know, over, you know, and then when I got hired fully, it kind of like solidified that feeling for me. It was like, okay, I'm here now. I felt like a kid at the candy store, I guess, essentially.
You finally realized your dream.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something I was like, all right, I'm good at this, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You, I mean, I think, like, you know, hit the ground running, you kind of took on a lot of difficult stuff. I think it's also quite, especially in the remote environment that some companies are now and, you know, and were over this period, it's quite a communication challenge as well, right? You have to be able to express yourself and communicate and ask questions and
yeah,
I think that's, how did you find that?
It was good for me, because, like, I guess the only people that I talked to were in California. And, you know, I would, and then when I was working, you know, during my internship, when I was working my other job, you know, all Q cared about was results. He was like, get your stuff done, you know, and, you know, join the meetings that you need to join. And I would be at my other job with an earpiece on in a Teams meeting, you know, and then go into another room, be like, yeah, I'm, you know, we're talking about this, that, and the other. And then I won't do anything in engine till I get home. And then that also helped because we had our other engineer in the other side of the planet. So like it kind of just worked out, you know, like we, you know, and, you know, any of the help that I needed, I could just talk to him about any of that. And
but again, Orlando, the dedication that takes, right? You're juggling two jobs, which again sounds familiar to you. It sounds like you've done that before, but, you know, to have that dedication to juggle those two jobs, especially the internship. I mean, once you got hired, you were sort of able to, you know, just focus on the one role. But yeah, that's a lot of dedication and effort to, you know, to show up and do a good job whilst also doing another job.
Yeah, and they had no idea.
You did a very good job of juggling both roles and getting stuff done, right? You know, again, I think, yeah, that's absolutely right. You showed up, you got the work done and did it well. And that's all that mattered. So, getting towards the end of this, but there's a couple of other questions I love to ask. So you mentioned that your mum was a big supporter of you kind of in your early days. Like, is that, did your family kind of relate to your job? You know, well, you know, do they understand what you do? Do you have, you know, is there anyone else in your family that kind of relates to what you do, or, you know, how does that go?
No, I'm like the only person. My family, like some of my cousins play video games, and they're like, "When's the next Elder Scrolls coming out?" I'm like, "I don't know, dude. I'm not on that team." But some of my friends do, and but yeah, nobody else is in like this industry, or in any tech industry in my family. They all have, kind of normal jobs. So it's like it's okay to get away from, I guess tech talk or work, and being like, oh, this studio, this. I'm like, all right, okay. Yeah.
Interesting. Right. And so do you, when you're sort of relate, hanging out with those folks that aren't necessarily into video games or in the industry or anything like that, do you find it, difficult because you're kind of in your industry and they're in their industry and, they don't overlap very much or they don't relate to each other very much? Or do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy, you almost implied that you kind of enjoy like switching off and not thinking about it.
Yeah, I like switching off. Sometimes I do want to talk about it and kind of like relate to somebody, be like, dude, this is crazy. Oh my God, this has happened. And I can't, but that's okay, 'cause then I can just do that at work.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we all talk about it all day. Okay, got it. And then you've mentioned, you've obviously worked on combat's kind of a passion, although you've done a lot of broad design, which is great. How does that relate to who you are as a gamer? Like, the stuff you've worked on, is it, does it overlap with what you play? Do you play very different stuff? Like, how does you as a gamer relate to you as a game developer?
I guess the when I kind of had got my claws into combat design, I started to look into other designs way differently. And I would like, so for like example, like other games that I'll play, I'll be like, why are you doing this way? Why are you doing it that way? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like in the design sense, I wouldn't do that because, as a combat designer, I like the combat should be this way or fluid this way, especially when it comes to like third person games or first person games. It's like I kind of have more of a an understanding as to like, how we were designing things, and then, being like, okay, I wouldn't, do it this way. This doesn't feel right. This feels a little janky. The animation doesn't fit well here. Oh, I can't combo this way. And why can't I do that? I have the animation time to do that. Oh, this animation is taking too long. And, like there's so much more that I kind of jot down and be like, I want to fix this. Or like, I've been playing some like Soul Frame, because I was able to get access to Soul Frame, and I'm on their Discord just writing down combat feedback. Like, I literally have a three-part series where it's like melee combat. Why is it this way? Oh, environment and UI UX, like this, you guys should update this and change this. I mean, I mean it's in pre-alpha, but like to me, I'm like, okay, if you're in pre-alpha now and you're just adding more things without fixing what's the fun, and this goes back to
Fundamentals.
the fundamentals, and like it's important to me as a player to get a better grip of the fundamentals, especially when you're in pre-alpha. I don't want to have to celebrate, Halloween on a pre-alpha game where I'm like, you should be spending that time fixing the melee combat, and because it's not that good right now, and so like to me, it's like it's important to, when it comes to games like that, how good are their fundamentals? And then when it comes to like release games, how do all those how good is everything meshed together? And like if I'm aiming, can I see where my bullets are going, and or are they going to hit exactly where I want them to go? If they're not, then why? Is that a design choice? Is that a limitation on the engine? And, like there's so many things that I don't know too, like design decisions and stuff like that, and why they mesh together. So like I guess now I'm more curious than I was before, because I'm like, I want to be part of your team and understand why you went in this direction. And all that's left now is for me to apply.
Well, but I think that goes back to that desire. You seem to have, a sort of innate desire to understand why, right? Understand why this design is this way, why this game feels this way, why this mechanic feels that way. And I think that's a real powerful, that's a great way of approaching things, 'cause that's a great way of learning.
And then it goes back to like my desire of wanting to make, take whatever is there and making it better. Exactly. Because I want to understand, you know, why you did it, why you went this way. Okay, how can we take that and, you know, let it flourish? Because sometimes it's like, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's like it feels like the flower is there, but it's not blooming.
Yeah.
And you just need a little bit of water, you know, just a little bit of me. And
not a great analogy around that, isn't it? Yeah, and I think that's the, that's another, you know, so far everyone, I'm excited, like, man, every one of these conversations, there's been this kind of like interesting corollary between who you are as a person, who you are as a gamer, and why you do what you do in development, right? And I think you've got another great story where this, that version of you was in you and you didn't know it was there until a role came along and went, hey, could you do this? And you're like, yeah. Oh yeah, that's what I love to do. And that's great. I love that. And I think that's such a human, you know, thing. That's sort of why I do this podcast, right? Is because so many of us put our life into and so much of our life into these games. And so much of what we put into these games is who we are as people and who we are as humans. Mm-hmm. They are so intertwined. I think uncovering those stories is really fascinating to me. I find it really exciting and interesting to sort of hear how it relates to my story, how it doesn't. It's, yeah. You know, I can look at it. It's so cool. So,
and I've mentioned this too. Like, I guess when I was interviewing with Bethesda, where I was like, where I said, you know, it's important to be curious. Because if you're not curious about how something works, or if you're not curious about why something doesn't work, and you're not going to grow as a designer, you're not going to get a better understanding of what you're making. You're not going to, you know, understand the designs that other people chose. And, you know, to me, it's important to be curious, to be like wondering why, you know, why you do this, why you did that. Well, if we do it this way, what happens if we do it the other way? And, you know, I think for me, I'm always curious about how things work, even if I already know. You know, sometimes I prefer to get someone else's perspective because I already know something. I may not see it the same way they do. So I'll just be like, hey, I thought about this design. What do you think? I think it fits well, but because I'm the one that did it, I have a subjective point of view. So I would prefer, you know, outside opinion on, you know, everything. Especially when it comes to design, because I think that's really important.
Hear, hear, Orlando. I admire that you have that mentality. You know, I'm much older than you, and it took me a lot longer to get that mentality. So, you know, I couldn't say it about myself. And I really thank you for the time. This has been another great conversation. I've really enjoyed it. And thank you for sharing your story.
For sure. Thanks. I appreciate it.